was once a wise guy with a talk radio mafia.
Oh, a bullshit artist. Did you bullshit last week?
No.
Did you try to bullshit last week?
Yes.
But now, he's teaching philosophy to the mafia's expats.
Occupation?
Stand-up philosopher.
What?
Stand-up philosopher. I coalesce the vapor of human experience into a viable and logical comprehension.
The Mike Church Show, a wise guy turned crusader. Here, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
You walked into our party like you walked into Little Rock. Your view strategically hid from right-wing eyes and
is this bubble gum? I have to ask every day. It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, asking a question of, or telling you that part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be, asking you to take 8 weeks of daily doses of the Founding Fathers Red Pill, unplug the matrix cable from the back of your head, claim your philosophy of Padani's thinking skills, become members of the self-governing people of the United States, not job, it's a way of life. I still cannot believe I read that story, and I'm the only one that's out there that's covering this. Can I ask you people a question since you don't respond to these inquiries like this? What do we have Megan's Law? What is the purpose of Megan's Law? Anybody know? What is the purpose of an Amber Alert? Anybody know? I'm going to take a stab Yes, we have Megan's Law, because when little children's tender, eight-year-olds, dude, when pederasts are on the loose and they kidnap eight-year-olds, Megan's Law can be invoked and an Amber Alert can be issued, right? What's an Amber Alert? An Amber Alert alerts people that, hey, have you seen this kid here? Be on the lookout, maybe subjects, targets, sexual abuse or other assorted maladies and crimes. So what then is the purpose of the Amber Alert and Megan's Law? It is to protect children from nefarious, mortally sin-craving adults. And for children to not be exposed to this mortally sinful, horrid behavior, maybe even violence, rape, heaven forfend, sexual assault, etc. Why isn't Megan's Law used to call out the creeps that mutilate their eight-year-old kids and tell them that they're not girls and it's okay that they're not girls and that they're boys and are receiving steroid treatments and other sort of mutilations and attacks upon their little tender bodies and their minds? Why doesn't somebody drop an Amber Alert dime on these wackos that make this horrific television show called Modern Family? Maybe we ought to have, instead of an Amber Alert, maybe we ought to have a red light alert. Get it? I just keep thinking that I must be dreaming some of this stuff, and I'm going to wake up. I'm going to find out that, Minter Church, you were dreaming it. I'll be so glad to find out that I was dreaming it. Here's another one. This, I don't really have any outrages left. Hillary is a big enough outrage. By the way, you just heard You're So Vain from my CD or my download from the Mike Church Show band called The Anthology Collection, and that song is one of 67 tracks on that disc. Download it today. Be listening all day long at mikechurch.com/shop, right next to where you can order if you're a Founders Pass member and follow the links. My upcoming release of my book, The English Reformation, with a foreword by Joseph Pierce. And you can get the digital download copy free, no charge, if you're a Founders Pass member and you pre-order. I found this piece here, though, from Father James Shaw that I was intrigued by about jobs. As a matter of fact, I probably won't get into a full-blown discussion on this today. So I thought maybe I might forward this along to David Simpson so he could discuss it. But I'll get into the exterior or the Cliff Notes version of it. Listen to this. Anyone from Pope Francis to presidential candidates to speculative economists talk of jobs. Now, this actually is related to last night. What was the first topic in last night's rigged debate that the media industrial complex put on to sabotage the candidacy of Donald Trump? The economy. How are you going to create jobs, right? That was the first question. Not that presidents have very much of a role in creating jobs, nor should they, nor should we wish for them to. But facts are facts, and that's what happened. Now, as I'm hearing all this discussion about here, the most important thing that we can do is jobs. We've got to create more jobs. We've got to create better jobs. We've got to create bigger jobs. My plan creates 10 million new jobs in clean energy. Oh, you mean like the ones at Solyndra? You mean those clean energy jobs? Oh, wait a minute. They got to get out there and harness the amoeba farts. You know, that reminds me. I used to have this song. Gosh, I'm trying to think of the I remember. We just played one. Let's play another. On that subject.
A smiling face, his fans. budget's looking fine. The Dow climbed to its highest steeple, but all's made it worth dying.
Not yet.
Till he trains me. Unemployment is free. Where the jobs are making green cars. With Obama, someone's lunch is free. Till he trains me, I'll tape windows for free. Where the jobs are making green.
That, too, is available on Anthology. By the way, I am the author and the brains behind all those songs. I write all the lyrics, and the Mike Church Show band does all the music and everything. Every once in a while, they'll let me take a part or two. Not on either one of those songs. Obviously, that was Ashley Farmer doing the vocals. Jobs, right? That was number one topic last night. As Father Schall explains, jobs aren't what jobs used to be, though. I just read this and I'm shaking my head up and down as I'm reading it going, yep. A job is something that needs to be done. Joe has a good job. John has a lousy job. A jobless person is unemployed. The mafia contracted a job on an uncooperative client. Sadie looks terrific after her recent nose job. I won't work at just any old job. The cabbies in San Francisco. A recent headline reads, worry about their jobs because of the advent of driverless cars. Just more. More of the idiocy and the damage that modernity does to the human mind and to the human experience. Removing humans from process. Why? Well, no one ever bothers to stop and ask, just because you can, should you? The job of an end in football is to catch a good pass. Our jobs are being sent to India. Workers emigrated from their own countries because no jobs were available there. Good job, we say to people. Time to speculate that with the advancement of robotics, we will not need as many jobs in the future. Okay, what will we do? In Genesis, the punishment for Adam was work by the sweat of his brow. For Eve, painful labor and childbirth. They were to subdue the earth. Unlike the animals, their well-being was not just given to them. To provide for themselves, they had to work on what was already there. The earth proved plentiful enough, but not without considerable toil. Uncultivated and unimproved land was not sufficient for human needs. If everyone tried to provide everything for himself, not much could be done. A greater good, a more plentiful earth, could be attained through a division of labor. People were to work in what they were best at. Equality could only be achieved by exchange of goods. A farmer who owned and operated his own land had many specific chores to do. Cultivate, plant, harvest, care for animals and trees. The term job came about when a regularly paying job took the place of doing all the different tasks yourself. In other words, if you were practicing the vocation of farming or of an agrarian lifestyle at your house, you didn't really have a job. You had a vocation. You had something you worked at to provide for yourself and your family. And you were good at milking cows. You were good at tilling land. You were good at diagnosing seeds and weeds. You were good at buying almanacs and keeping up with the yearly climate weather predictions and et cetera, et cetera. By the way, do you know how the almanacs predicted weather patterns? Anybody? Mr. Church, nobody cares. Sunspots. You're making that up. No, I'm not. Sunspots. They counted the sunspots. If there were more sunspots one year, then the next year was probably going to be warmer. More sunspots, more activity, little bit warmer, more radiant, a little warmer. Fewer sunspots, a cooling trend. But not all jobs are equally nice. But we cannot talk, back to Father Shaw, but we cannot talk of jobs without talking about what initially causes their necessity. Aristotle did not think that the essence of human genius was to provide jobs for everyone. This is where I thought it got interesting. He knew that staying alive and in reasonable human dwellings was necessary. But life was about living well, not just about keeping alive and comfortable. In Aristotle's terms, human life, at its best, had little to do with what we call jobs. Socrates was a poor provider for his family. St. Paul made tents. It was no big deal. He did so in order to accomplish what was really important. George Gilder said the source of wealth is the human mind. And Father John McNerney's excellent new book, The Wealth of Persons, Economics with a Human Face, we see spelled out in greater detail how the ultimate cause of wealth, and therefore jobs, is not land, labor, or capital, but human personal capacity to innovate. Man, as Tolkien said, is a sub-creator. Well, of course, we have to acknowledge the creator before you can be a sub-creator. The question that I have often asked of myself, and it's Father Shaw, is this. And this is a good one, folks. What do we do when all else is done? The essence of the human task is not the provision of more jobs. This truth was once the very meaning of a liberal education. The assumption that only work and jobs exist was a Marxist notion. How many times have I told you this? The Marxists were materialists. The Marxists remain materialist. And the Marxists never figured out how wealth sufficient for everyone's needs was produced. They claimed to know, though they really didn't, how to distribute wealth after someone else produced it. Like Mrs. Clinton was pining on about last night. Oh, she can't wait to get her hands on the $4 trillion all-you-can-eat buffet. Let us pray rosary after rosary. She is denied that privilege because she hasn't earned it. What they repeatedly end up with in their pursuit of justice was an absolute state, the only logical avenue open to them on the basis of their principles. The crucial question about jobs remains, what causes them to exist in the first place? When that question is not correctly answered, we know with whom we conspire. So what is the purpose of job? I like Father's question. And this is going to be axed and talked about ad nauseum from now until November the 8th, until Election Day. Oh, we got to have jobs. We're going to bring more jobs. We're going to stop the jobs from leaving. We're going to stop the plants from leaving. We're going to create jobs. We're going to create green jobs. I'm going to create brown jobs. I'm going to create all these other kind of jobs. Jobs, 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 jobs. For what purpose? What is the purpose? I mean, Maggie O'Connell pointed this out last night. How are you going to create 10 million jobs and who's going to fill them? You just got finished saying that we almost have full employment. No one caught some of these inconsistencies last night. Mrs. Clinton said, that, I don't know if you've been keeping up, Donald, but the economy is going quite well and unemployment is the lowest it's been since Ronald Reagan. Okay, who's going to take the 10 million jobs you're going to create then? If everybody's employed, I think that we should look at it like this. We should stop calling them jobs and say that we have a job to do, as in tasks to do. For example, this is not my job. What I'm doing right now with that microphone and that television screen there, that's not a job. That's a vocation. It's a vocation. Something that I work at, I enjoy working at it, it is satisfying. It sure isn't for the money, let me assure you. It's a vocation. If we talked about these, and these things are almost the same, except that when you have a vocation, that implies permanence, and it implies purpose. What is the purpose of my vocation? I am exchanging these gifts that God blessed me with to be able to talk and just flail my hands about and read and maybe translate or interpret certain things, whatever it is that you create comedy or whatever it is you think that I do. I exchange them for you to exchange being pleased by them and then maybe becoming a Founders Pass member or making a donation or buying one of my books or something to that effect. But I don't seek wealth. Only in it, I shouldn't say I don't seek wealth. I do seek wealth. I don't seek riches. I am content working in my vocation, provided you keep telling me that I'm good at it. And I work every day to try to get better. And I have a prayer life that's associated with this vocation. So it's all tied together. It's all part just of life. I don't have to do it anymore if I don't want to, but I want to do it. Does that sound like a job? A job to me sounds like I got to go cut that tree down, a task. And I think that's the point that Father's trying to make. And I'm going to get this book, and like I said, I'm going to recommend that David Simpson follow this on the True Money Show tomorrow, follow this this story up. Anyways, we're going to hear a lot of talk about jobs. We're going to hear hardly no talk about vocation. And by the way, what did those schools used to be called that taught skills and trades? Vo-tech schools. What's the vo, aka abbreviation of vocation? Vocational technical schools. Few, if any, talk about vo-tech schools today. Notice that? You think maybe that's coincidental? Anyways, we'll continue the conversation because it's one of the ways that we can withdraw our consent and that we can form our own mainstream by having our vocabulary and our pursuit of the truth correct. It's not a job. It's a vocation or an occupation. Now, some of you may be in between your vocation. You may not be working at what you think your vocation at, but you just took what you could currently get. Maybe that's a job. Or maybe you're working on it being your new vocation. But we'll keep the conversation going here. Now, remember, tomorrow, I am out tomorrow. I am traveling to Richmond, New Hampshire for the St. Benedict Center's annual Keeping the Counter-Reformation Going conference, which begins Friday morning. I will be live in Fredericksburg at Dude Number 2's house Thursday morning for the show. Remember, I'm moving back to the mornings this Thursday and Friday. I'll be at my old, from the old country and the old place. Show will begin at 6 Central, 7 East, and the same will be true for Friday. And Mark will follow me on Thursday until noon. And on Friday, we'll have live coverage of the conference at the St. Benedict Center. So I'm going to segue right from Free Phone Friday into that. So if you want to attend, you can still get a ticket. Go to Catholicism.org or go to MikeChurch.com for details today. Hey, folks, I hope you'll go pick a copy of our book up. I'd love to be able to announce to you that the Crusade Channel had its first sellout because this is really the first big product that we've had released since we began all this because Humility of Heart was already out when the Crusade Channel was launched. Remember, here's the deal. If you're a Founders Pass member and you want a copy of my new book, The English Reformation, which is a republished work, edited, and then enhanced with illustrations and additional footnotes and other editions, and a new introduction by yours truly, and the real introduction, the foreword, by Joseph Pierce, our regular guest. Get it in beautiful hardback bound. Yes, the cloth cover is stamped. Yes, there's a beautiful dust cover on it. If you'll take advantage of this, if you're a Founders Pass member, this is for Founders Pass members only, go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com today. You'll see the English Reformation content item. Click on that. If you're logged in as a Founders Pass member, it'll take you to the order page. We're going to give you a free download of the digital edition, the ebook of the English Reformation. Free. Don't cost nothing. This is a great deal. Plus, you get to join our chat room on the Facebook. You'll be invited to the next presidential debate forum and the live chat we have. We're going to have a monthly town hall meeting or a monthly council meeting that we're going to attend. And you guys can make answer questions or ask questions. And you're free. If you join the Facebook group, the Crusader Room Facebook group, you can ask a question of me or Mark or Suzanne or Kevin or Greg Carpenter or Dr. Michael T. George. Haven't seen Brother Andre in there yet. And David Simpson's not on Facebook, but everyone else is. Plus, you can talk with your fellow Crusader Channel friends and make friends and start your own chat groups and make your own posts. And you can do business. You can BNI network in there and much, much more. And that's just some of the things that you get if you're a Founders Pass member. If you go and sign up today at VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join. All right, folks, have a safe and blessed day. The rebroadcast of this show will happen at 3 p.m. today. If there's a Donald Trump live event, we'll have it covered here on the channel. Have a safe and blessed day. I will see you Thursday live from Fredericksburg, Virginia. It's Mike Church saying so long. May God bless and Mary keep you.